We're taking up where we kind of left off or did not finish up a few weeks ago. We dealt with as it was, so shall it be. And if you were here, you might remember that we used the passage in Isaiah 3 and 12. Now, we're not going there tonight, but we use that passage. I'll read it just to bring back to our memories. As for my people, children are their oppressors. Anybody in here want to say amen? The children not in here. You're not going to do it, are you? And women rule over them. And we dealt with that the other Wednesday night. Now, I'm interested again tonight in the same title. We're going to be looking at a different passage of Scripture. It's found in Luke chapter 17 and verse 26. Luke 17, I'll read about three verses there. And I promise you, we won't keep you long. I know they got a lot of things in the back they're trying to do to get ready for vacation Bible school. I told AJ I was so amazed when I walked out there and happened to look on that little stand and seen what this vacation Bible school is about this year. So now I don't know what they've got lined up, but I sure hope what I'm going to preach tonight's not contradictory to what they're going to say, but I'm going to share with you what the Word of God says. And they're dealing with Noah and the ark, and I'll be dealing with it a little bit tonight. But in Luke 17, 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. Verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, if there's one thing this ought to do for us tonight, it certainly ought to arrest our attention on the fact that our children have no inkling as to what they are going to face. And yet, the imminent return of Christ is so close that it may happen before I'm gone from this earth and you're gone from this earth. It's that close, folk, because everything in the Bible is pointing to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to introduce it by asking three questions of which we'll give a simple answer and then dig in if the Lord will help us. Could somebody at the back get me just a little small cup of that cool water out of the dispenser? I appreciate it. How was it in the days of Noah and Lot? That's a good question. Well, I'm going to tell you how it was, just like it is now. Just exactly like it is now. And if we could take a human count, mathematically speaking, and each person that said they were a true born-again child of God, and we could gather them together in the United States of America, our spirit would bear witness with their spirit that they were a son of God. Amen? Now, if that could be done, you and I would be shocked and amazed at the few there are. Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, and straight and narrow. I've been accused of being narrow-minded. If my hair keeps receding, I won't have much mind left. Amen. But he said, straight and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life everlasting, and few there be that find it. Now, what is that? Thank you, Sister Ruth. I appreciate that. That's a good cup, too. I looked this up on the internet this morning. I was over here at the church. And Dr. Heimner out in California preached a message similar to what I'm dealing with tonight. And he was making mention in there of some great men of God in the past that made some statements of where we were at their time. Any of you ever heard of Dr. R.G. Lee? Any of you? He preached that great sermon on Payday Someday, Balfour Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. The man that followed him was Brother Adrian Rogers. Now Brother Adrian Rogers is with the Lord. R.G. Lee said, and I saw this, and I read it before, but I wanted to look it up and make sure I was quoting it correctly, and I was. He made this statement years ago in his ministry at Balfour Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. He said, I'm afraid 90% of my church members have never met the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I base that on the life that they now live in the flesh. Dr. W.A. Criswell, former pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, made the same statement and used the same figure of 90%. And Dr. Robert Jeffries, have you heard that name lately? He is a Fox consultant but takes a great stand for the cause of Christ and speaks out. If you haven't heard him or seen him, you ought to catch him sometime on the news. Precious man of God. Franklin Graham, another precious man who is standing, and folk are listening to him. Nobody hardly would listen to me. I'm not known on Fox News. Amen. But Franklin Graham is. And boy, he's saying some strong things. I was so amazed at the numbers. Some of them went from 50% to 75%. To 85%. And then Billy Graham said, I'm afraid that in my ministry, 90% of the people that walked the aisles in my invitation never made the right kind of a decision. Now that's amazing. And I could tell you some others. But we know what Jesus said. Many as opposed to few is not 51-49. It could be more like 90-10. I say that when I say this. If we're dependent upon Christians to vote in the next president of the United States, I doubt it will happen. If God is not raising up a man to be the president of the United States starting in January, if God's not doing it, we're in a mess. This country's gone. I mean, this country's gone right now unless God intervened. And God could give us a little bit of a reprieve, maybe that we could see some of our children, some of our grandchildren come to know Christ. My heart's been burdened and broken. I was in a meeting last week up in Tennessee, and people getting under old-time conviction, and yet they wouldn't move. On Wednesday night, two crackheads come in, young man and a woman, looked like they was in their 40s, found out she was only about 30 years old, but crack had so ruined her life. She looked like if you was to hit the rubber band she was wound up with, she'd go up through the ceiling. I never seen anybody like her life. She made a profession of faith. He made a profession of faith. I found out they wasn't in church Sunday. They were living in a crack house there in a little old place called Tracy City, Tennessee. Focus everywhere. As it was, so shall it be. How was it in Noah's and Lot's day? It's just like it is today. Why were they not expecting the wrath of God? Did you know if you was to ask the average person today that professes to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, are we under the wrath of God right now? They say, no, that's going to come during the 7-year tribulation period. They've never read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. All you got to do is read your Bible and it'll tell you where we're at. And only because of the long suffering and grace of God has he not destroyed America. As a matter of fact, historically speaking, America is already where Noah's day and Lot's day were at in their day, and God destroyed them. Why were they given over to sensuality, infidelity, debauchery? Well, turn to Genesis 6. I don't have time to dig into all of this. I wish I did. I love studying history, as you already know. But I'm going to read something to you, and if it blows your mind, then you've seen that commercial where it blows their mind, half their head off. I hope it don't happen in here tonight. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Now, there were some men on the earth before they started to multiply, but there wasn't many daughters. Matter of fact, Sister Barb, you may have thought about this and looked back in there. You can't find no daughters back there hardly. Isn't that amazing? I'm talking about back past Genesis 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom. Y'all not getting it. That's all right. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. A lot of these so-called theologians say that was the line of Seth, and they saw the daughters of men and intermingled and married them rather than waiting on a good old saved girl to marry. Are you with me? Friend, that wasn't no line of Seth. Because God destroyed every human being that was living on the face of the earth when Noah went in the ark. Are you listening to me? The Bible said that God found Noah just. He never said anything about finding Noah's three sons just or his wife. Just. I'll read it to you. I'm glad y'all looking at me like that. I love it that way. Look at Genesis 7 and 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark for thee. That's pretty plain. You don't have to be an English major to understand that. Did you teach English, Lisa? Any teacher in here that taught English? I'm glad Miss Judy's not here. All right, watch. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. The only person on the face of this earth that God gave testimony of seeing righteous before his face on the face of this earth was a man named Noah. Jump, if you will, to verse 23. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. God's intentions was to keep Noah alive. And for him to start over with this earth and replenish it, he naturally brought in Noah's three sons and their three wives. So we know the sons of God didn't marry three women and then all of them get killed, or all those daughters of men, all of them get killed. You still with me? I mean, when the ark lifted up, they were just eight. Oh, let me move to there. Where did I see that? I didn't mark it. I'm sorry. But it said, it just come to me. When you're my age, you wait a minute and it'll come around. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. Eight in biblical numerology always stands for starting over, new beginnings, resurrection. The Lord's Day is the eighth day. Sunday, first day of the week, or the eighth day. Amen. Seven and one's eight. You'll get it. Now watch. Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Every one of them was ungodly. The sons of God were ungodly. Who were those sons of God? You go to the book of Job and you'll see it used again. And it is angels. Somebody said, but angels are sexless. Have you seen one lately? How do you know they were sexless? My friend, I want to tell you something. There's been things that's gone on in this world. Let me read you another verse. Go back to Genesis 6. I don't have the time I wished I had. Verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which are of old, men of renown. They didn't last long, 120 years. You say, Brother Marty, 120 years is a pretty long time. Well, that may sound like it to you, but listen to me. If you count my age, 82, and my daddy's age, you can go back 120 years easy. And the 40 years missing from me to 120, that generation's dead and gone. And Jesus said, this generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Everything Jesus predicted, Matthew 24, and that door opened in May of 1948 when Israel started going back and the fig tree started budding. Friends, she's coming to pass. We don't have long. You can see it everywhere around you. And so let me read verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Hey, God's been striving with people. Stop and think. I don't know, and I've been in the ministry 48 years, and I can say this. I don't know of a better pastor, a better orator with the word of God than Frank Thompson. I have the greatest respect for him. I love him as a son, but when he's in this pulpit, I don't love him as a son. I love him as my pastor, my man of God that's feeding my soul when I sit right over there. And I've never heard anybody beat his preaching. I've listened to some of the greatest preachers that ever lived in my lifetime, and I'll put Frank Thompson alongside any of them. I'm serious. I'm not saying that bragging just because I'm up here preaching. I know what I'm talking about. And he stands here on Sundays with a broken heart, whether it shows or not to the average person that's visiting. You that know him know he's preaching with a broken heart. You that know he's preaching when he didn't get no rest the other night, when he's sick, and when this is bothering him, when that's bothering him, when this is going on, and he's trying to put all that beside him and feed the church of the living God. You know that. And yet, he sees God's spirit is not always striving with man. I've been here 3 years, and Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning, and we've seen numbers of people come in. I'm talking about vision, go out the door. Ain't paying it any attention. Some come back, some don't. But when's the last time you seen the altar full and the saints crying out for God to send old time revival and stir this community and save that loved one, that friend, that neighbor of mine, that person that I work alongside of? It's gone, folk. God said, I'm not going to always strive. I've done seen your wickedness. If my people, which are called by my name, shall turn from what? And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I don't do anything wrong. You don't do nothing. You got to do something to do something wrong, haven't you? Average Baptist don't do nothing, so you can't blame anything on them until they stand before God. But he said, if you're a child of God, you're not going to see revival till you turn. Mike, he's talking to you and I. We got to turn from our wicked ways. Now, you don't want that little lady sitting beside you to know your wicked ways. But, Barb, you don't want him to know your wicked ways. Say amen. We just had one head to blow up. Now, I'm serious. I'm just as serious as I can be right now. You can't get the average Baptist to admit anything wicked in their life. If you're as clean as you want everybody to think you are, why aren't you flying off to heaven? You ain't no earthly good. Hello? God didn't leave me down here because I'm perfect. See, he wants other people to see me go through suffering and go through trials and go through this and go through that. And them that's out there that doesn't know Christ said, boy, he's got something I don't have. He's able to sustain himself through this and that and this and that. Now, there wasn't nobody around me. I went last Friday, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I was by myself. And I think that was the worst, okay? I know your daddy knows. He and I talk a lot. But that was the worst chemo that I've had. I went through the worst suffering. Now, I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm a man, and I can take pain. Brother Tip can take pain. I know him. We too close. We're friends. I slapped him the other day, and it didn't even bother him. I had the worst pain. And I'm trying to share something with you. I ain't bragging on me. I'm just using me as a point. I know me. I can't use you. I don't know you. I don't live with you or anything like that. So I'm going to use me. Is that all right? I got home, what, about 12, 15 tips, something like that. By midnight, I had already been up and down 48 times at least. And every time I was up, folk, the pain was so intense, it would hit my elbows. It came down my shoulders, hit my elbows with such a burning sting that I could feel my fingertips. I never had pain like that before. Honest to God, I said,
I want my mommy.
Boy, if there's ever a time, Slim, I was ready to cry and ask for, hey, when you was over yonder, there's times that you didn't, in that foxhole, you wish mommy was there. Hello? If you're a man in here, you know I'm talking the truth. Boy, I ain't kidding you. I laid in there, man, I cried. And I said, Lord, let me get a little bit of rest. Now, these people that God leaves on this earth to go through every kind of suffering, every kind of trial, every kind of test, everything that happens in your life. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called for that particular thing. That's his purpose. But God said, I ain't going to strive much longer. Well, you know, I'm just in my 50s or 40s, 120 years. I ain't going to live that long. Yeah, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I'm supposed to live it by the faith of the Son of God. So God can get glory out of my life. There's somebody watching you and I that we don't even know. Might be a grandchild. Might be your neighbor. Might be that in your work. Who knows? You're not going to be perfect. But you see, God gets glory when you sin, because he knows you're going to, if you do it publicly, you're going to go to who you need to go to and apologize and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. Hello? You say, how you know, Brother Mark? God's made me do it. Oh, goodness gracious. I got to tell you this, and I'm going to hurry. I was working in the mill. We was tearing down these spinning frames, and I was in Bible college. Had to have a little extra money, you know. And so I'm working. We tearing down them spinning frames, and the boss sent me down to get some fresh claws from the supply room downstairs in the basement. The old girl that run that thing, now, y'all know what a heifer is? If I've ever seen a heifer, she was a heifer. And this old boy standing there, who was a fixer in one of the weave rooms, he's standing there, and he's yeah-yamming her, and she's yeah-yamming him, and they telling dirty jokes and the cussing and this and that and everything. And I'm standing there waiting, and I know the boss is going to get on. Where you been? What you been up to? He's going to chew me out. And I'm just innocent. I'd be standing there. And she wasn't paying me no attention. Just, and I just pushed up there and I said, hey, bless God, I ain't got time for all this. I need some new claws. Boss going to chew me out if I don't get them. Boy, she looked at me and smoke come out both her ears. I got my claws and I went back upstairs. I felt good. I'm driving home. Isn't it amazing when the Holy Ghost waits to deal with you about something when you make a fool of yourself? Yeah. Are y'all with me? I'm driving home. The Holy Ghost said, boy, you goofed today, didn't you? I said, sir, what are you talking about? You know what you said to her. Well, Lord, I won't say she deserved it. But if I got what I deserved, I don't want somebody to get what they deserve. Do you? You're right. You're right. And boy, by then the Holy Ghost is squeezing my heart. And I said, Lord, if you let me get home, get a little bit of rest tonight, I promise you, I'll be there the first thing in the morning. Whenever I have to go down and get some rags, I'll be there. I'll go there. I'll talk to her. I'll apologize. And I got over there, and the Lord let me rest. I got over there the next morning. Boss sends me down to get new rags to start the thing off, and I'm waiting in line, and I get up there, and she said, all right, who's next? By then, tears started streaming down. God was doing it on purpose, and I said, ma'am, can I talk to you a minute? Well, she seen me crying. She sensed something that she hadn't sensed before. And I said, I'm a Christian. I know I'm not much of one right now. And what I said to you yesterday, I'm so sorry. But I didn't want to get in trouble with my boss, and I'm using that as an excuse. I'm just wrong. Would you forgive me? And she dropped her head, folks. Now listen to me. She dropped her head. She said, don't you worry about it. We all do wrong. I said, yes, somebody, it was me that done it. And would you forgive me? She said, sure. Now, what do you need, honey? Some rags? I said, yes, ma'am. 1 week later, that woman dropped dead. Coincidence? See, God's striving. God's pulling. God's leading. But why? Why? I'm not going to strive always. I'm kind of getting tired of striving here at Grace. It sounds like he might be saying. You know, a lot of people don't want church fill up because they'll lose their seat. Or somebody else might come in and get a little preeminence over them. R. There's an O in front of that R, but I just wanted you to know that. All right, I'm going to hurry. I can't get all this done, but I got to dig in right here. 120 years, God had been looking down. Three times in the book of Psalms, God looked down. He looked down to see. He looked down to hear. And then he looked down to visit. God wants to see something before he wants to hear something. And then God wants to hear something before he wants to visit something. God's not going to visit nowhere if he don't hear the right thing, see the right thing. Are you listening? 120 years. Can you imagine the righteous God of heaven having to look down at all of this? And he said it. I read it. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. What happened just a few days ago? All the world with all their tree huggers are going at this from a different. But there was a gay bar. Ain't nothing gay about that crowd. They're perverted. God turned them over to a reprobate mind to do that which is not convenient. And there was queers and lesbians and whores and whoremongers at 2 a.m. in the morning. Can you picture a Sunday school teacher down there at 2 a.m. in the morning? Our pastor there at 2 a.m. in the morning? Some of you can't stay awake till 2 a.m. in the morning. Glenn, you don't even look half awake right now, do you? I listen to the journalists. Now, listen to me. If this makes you mad, don't bother me. I done got beyond that. I listen to the journalist talking to another journalist on the TV. And these were his words. I appreciate your condolences. Yes, yes. Oh, it was a place of joy. And we hated joy. My God, is a place of sin. And the judgment of God fell in Orlando, Florida. It fell in New Orleans. It fell in San Bernardino. It fell in New York. The love of money. Is that what it says? Is the root of all evil. What did those twin tires represent to the United States and the world? Somebody tell me. M-O-N-E-Y. And God's judgment fell. I don't care what secular humanism talks about. I know what the Bible says. As it was, so shall it be. Boy, when God turns the pot over, he's just taking a dipper, throwing out a little bit of his wrath now, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It's already being revealed from heaven. He's just throwing a little of it out. You wait till he turns the pot over in the tribulation period. The true church of the living God has been caught up, caught out, caught away. And there ain't nothing on this earth but heathens. Religious heathens are the worst heathens you ever seen in your life. If you don't believe it, go to mission field or visit a Baptist church. Hello? I got to put a little salt in there. I'm losing some of you. What did Jesus see? What did the Lord see when he looked down? God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually. Genesis 6:5. What permeates our world today? S-E-X. I don't care whether you like that or lump it. Sex permeates our world today. It's taken over. You see it advertised, displayed, and portrayed, even in Baptist churches. I'm ashamed to say this. I saw somebody in this church walking up the aisle of this church, and you could see the cheeks of her hiney. I wonder if a trumpet was to sound about that time. Yeah. Without holiness, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl shall see the Lord. I'm not pastor, but I'm going to tell you what I believe. I may not make you believe what I believe, but make you believe I believe what I believe. I think there's a time and place for everything. But I'm a red-blooded man, even though I'm 82. I heard a preacher preaching one time. He said, if I live to be 100, I hope it gets out that I run off with the blonde. I don't want that to get out on me. But I tell you what I do want. I want to have a testimony. Far as I know, I've got a testimony in Childersburg. I don't have to say anything. If Tip and I are together and we go in a place that I've never been in before, it ain't but a second to Tip said, this is my preacher friend. You talking about getting religious. You can be a church member all your life. It don't bother that crowd. You can be a Tony Cool teacher. You can be in Vacation Bible School. You can do all that. It don't bother them people. But you just sure, he's a preacher. Oh, yeah, I went to church here. Oh, goodness, where are you? I knocked on the door one time. This fellow answered the door, and I said, yeah, I'm the new pastor down here at such and such church. Oh, okay. Y'all go to church? Oh, yeah. Mama, what's the name of that church we go to? I said, well, it don't matter about name. What's the pastor's name? I'll look it up. Oh, you slipped my mind right now. Honey, what's that preacher's name down there? I know. It's on the tip of my tongue. I said, stick your tongue out. Don't you listen to me real quick now. These people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. I heard an old country preacher say, he ain't got enough power of God to stir the fuzz on a gander snout. I'm glad you're here, Tip. You still with me, aren't you? Amen. Woo. I told Brother Frank, I said, Brother Frank, I didn't say nothing about tightening your seatbelts, but I should have. I'm sorry. Would you give me 5 more minutes? And I hadn't took as long as Mike or Frank has on Wednesday nights. I want to give you the signs. How many know what a sign is? Sure you do. I want you to listen to these signs. And common sense will tell you it means more than just what it says. Verse 27, they did eat. They drank. They married wives. What happened to virgins? Our world doesn't see much of virginity anymore. Hello? The average little schoolgirl today loses her virginity before she's in the 11th grade. A lot of them get into such sin that they end up pregnant in school. That's sad. I'm not being mean. That's sad. That's pitiful. But I'm going to tell you something. Something's wrong with the home. Something's wrong with mama and daddy when those things start happening. God said, as it was, they did eat and they did drink. It's this out in the world type of eating and drinking that he's talking about. I remember back when I used to go to bars many, many years ago. Man, they'd fix you up. Some, by the time I'd had three shots, I didn't give a rip what they put between the bread. Hello? Y'all not with me. Ain't no need to look past. I already know some of you. Now listen, he didn't only say they married wives, but they were given in marriage adultery. Shacking up. The crackhead up here on a Wednesday night and the man she was with were living in a crack house. They made a profession of faith. I believe if you get saved, the Holy Ghost that moves inside of you, you don't have to have nobody teach you. The anointing you receive of the Lord teacheth you of all things that have to do with morality. Hello? Verse 28, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot. I wish I had time to really deal with Lot because they wanted those two queers. They had two sons that were queer. And they wanted them to leave, and they wouldn't do it. They was out there with those others. And the instructions were given. Have you ever asked why did Abram stop at 10? 50 down to 10? He stopped at 10 because he knew the family, and he knew there ought to be 10 righteous in that family. And God said Lot was just. Didn't say nothing about them children. And our Lord tells us this. He said, I'm going to give you one final warning, and you better take it to heart. Remember Lot's wife. What did Lot's wife do, Brother Marty? I want you to look at verse 32 in Luke 17. Remember Lot's wife. Well, you'd have to go back to Genesis 19 and study her out. But you know what? She was told not to look back. But the love of a mother wanting to see if those precious two daughters and two sons and two sons-in-laws, which he spoke of in Genesis 18, were coming out that gate. That's why she looked back. How you know, Brother Marty? Because God turned her into a pillar of salt. And there's three things that salt does if you ever study. It's mentioned 41 times in your Bible. But salt is left here on this earth to season, to sustain, and to secure. Now, I know you love Tip. And I know you love Angie and Tippa, but you don't love them like you love them two little old granddaughters.
It's different.
Hello? It's a different love. And she'll put up, now she ain't going to put up much with him, I know that. But she'll put up with anything and everything for them two little granddaughters. She's seasoned enough to sustain everything she faces in life so she can secure those precious two little granddaughters. Rattlesnake come crawling up in that yard, she not going to warn them. She going to beat the devil out of that snake. God left you and I here as salt. But when the salt has lost its savor, oh, I would to God that we could get a hold of this tonight. Do I need to draw close to God? Do I need to draw nigh to God? Do I need revival in my heart? As it was, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. You couldn't pray enough to get God to hold off on it. He said, as it was, so shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man. I want to see that grandson of mine, he's down in Florida, denies a literal God, denies a hell, denies a heaven. I want to see him saved. I wish I had more time, but I don't. Heavenly Father, I appreciate the fact that you love us. You said about these very people, you did it to them in that day, and you're going to do it to them in this day. You said you'd send them strong delusion, and that all believe a lie and be damned, because they believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Father, I don't know, and I know Brother Frank don't know, and I don't know anyone here that knows how many people at Grace Baptist Church are really born again, and they really love you, and that have been bought with a price and realize they're not their own, and they take up their cross daily to follow you. But God, however many there are, would you put a fire under us, Lord? God, would you stir our hearts and revive us, that we might see some precious soul around this town. Lord, there's two people that lives over there close to me that I've been able to witness to. And Lord, we pray for them, and we want to see them saved. And I know you're able. Father, what you do, we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.